Welcome to the Seek 24 podcast. I'm John Michael Lucido, and I am so glad that you are here. This podcast is a place of community, collaboration, and inspiration, created to invite and encourage you deeper into relationship with Jesus. So, here we go.
You know, I was thinking, how can I describe what I'm saying from here over there? You know, I mean, you have no idea. And I said, well, you know, when I was in Argentina, a little over 13 years ago, I was studying English to come here, and one of my teachers said, so you are going to America? And I said, yes. And she said, well, you need to learn a very special word, a word that is used all the time, which I didn't know. And she said, you'll see that when you get there, you'll hear that word. Every five words, one word will be that word. And the word is awesome. And I realized when I came here that, yeah, it is true. Americans say that everything is awesome. And even we have an awesome God, everything is awesome. Now, wait. Imagine what I felt when I discovered the Lego movie. Everything is awesome. Okay, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Good and gracious Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of your Son, for his coming into this world, assuming our human nature to save us, to rescue us. Tonight, we ask you that you may open our hearts, our minds, to receive that transformation that he wants to work in us. Transform our hearts. Make each one of us more at his image, that we may be used by him to transform the world. Mother Mary, help us to always say yes to the will of the Father in our lives. Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Already, well, we just heard the recap of this conference by Steve and Erin, but I want to repeat it again. Why? Because this is so, so important. It is the story of our lives. So we will never get tired of repeating it. So we heard the great news, the good news, the first day that we were made just out of love. God didn't need us, but he wanted to share his love with us. He wanted this relationship with us, and he created us. Then we heard that the devil deceived our first parents, and that relationship was broken. And we became slaves to the devil. But then we heard last night that Jesus came. We heard the great news that Jesus came to rescue us, to save us. And we experienced his presence just here. But tonight, as Steve said, I came to give you the greatest news, which is that Jesus not only came to save us, not only came to rescue us, but he is present, and he continues to work in our hearts, transforming us to be better and better and better. So I would say that if Matthew O'Shea was our Good Friday priest, I would say that Father Mike last night was our Easter priest, and I get to be your Pentecost priest. Because Jesus came, saved us, but he didn't leave. He didn't say, well, my work is done, I'm done, you guys are saved. No, he stayed, and we saw him last night here walking around each one of us. So Jesus is here. You know, some other Christian denominations say that when we sinners receive Christ, when we embrace Christ, we are covered by his grace. So that when the Father sees us, we are all broken inside, but we are covered by his grace. But our mother church, our beloved mother church, says that the truth is that Jesus doesn't cover us with his grace. Jesus transforms us from within with his grace. So even if it is true, as Father Mike said, that we inherited a broken heart, this is absolutely true. But it's even more true that broken heart can be fixed. And that Jesus can and wants to fix it. So that is what we are contemplating tonight. The fact that Jesus really wants to transform us. And we can see the transformation. We can feel, we can breathe in that transformation here during these days. Now, I need to tell you something, because even though this is the greatest news, we have to acknowledge the fact that as Jesus works in our hearts, as Jesus continues to transform us, the enemy doesn't rest either. What do you think? That when Jesus came and saved us, Satan said, okay, I'm done, my job is done, I can do nothing about it. No, he hates God, he hates us, his beloved sons and daughters, that he never stops working. We know the end of the story, though, that Jesus already conquered him. He doesn't know it, but we do. But he continues to work. And last night, probably he was working too. And you know, I think that one of the most powerful weapons that Satan has, one of his small powerful tricks to make us fall, is comparison. You know, it's such a thing that we always compare ourselves to each other, to other people, how they are, how we are. And I don't think I'm wrong if I say that last night, as we all were here, you know, maybe we were comparing ourselves to others. Maybe some of you guys saw this guy kneeling there for the whole hour, and you say, oh my gosh, he's so strong, I'm so weak, he's kneeling on his knees for an hour, and I can't. Maybe one of you ladies saw this girl just crying and crying, and said, she's crying, and I am not shedding one tear. What is happening with me? Maybe you saw this guy with this book. His Bible is way bigger than mine. What am I doing here? Or this other, he knows all the songs, even those in Spanish. That is comparison. It exists. It is one of the most powerful weapons of the evil one, but we have to acknowledge that it exists. But I told you, I am your Pentecost priest, so I have great news. We can use those weapons that the devil has to conquer him. So he wants to conquer us through comparison. We can use comparison to conquer the devil. Sounds crazy, right? But there is a way. The devil wants to bring comparison so that we fall into pride if we think that we are better than others. Or we fall into envy because we see that they are better and we don't want that. Or we fall into discouragement. And we'll never be able to do that. But the saints teach us that comparison can be a great source of holiness. We can become saints by comparing ourselves to others. I don't know how much you guys know about Saint Ignatius of Loyola. My name is John Ignatius, so I need to love him, right? Well, Saint Ignatius was a Spanish soldier born in the 16th century, and he was very brave, very valiant. He had a lot of courage, but also he was very vain. He wanted fame, he wanted honor, he wanted to be important. And he was leading the Spanish army against the French in one of the million battles that they fought for the Navarre province in Spain. And as Saint Ignatius was leading the Spaniards, they were doing great. But in one moment of the battle, he was hit by a cannonball, and he was taken home. The Spaniards obviously eventually lost the battle. But Ignatius went home and had, let us call it surgery, if you want, in the 16th century. It was a butchery, actually, but imagine what it meant to fix that knee. Anyway, they fixed it, kind of, and as he was in bed convalescent, he asked for books to read, because he was bored, there was no internet, no Netflix, no nothing. And he said, I need to read something. So there were in that house only two books, The Life of Christ and The Lives of the Saints. So Saint Ignatius started by reading The Life of Christ, and he realized by reading that the love of God for the world. He was Catholic, he was Christian Catholic, but he had never experienced the love that Jesus had for him. And by reading that book, he said, I see how much God loves me. So by reading the lives of the saints, he realized the response of the best men and women in the world to that love. And a transformation began to happen in his heart. So he read about St. Benedict, for example. Benedict was a noble Roman that was born in the end of the 5th century when the Roman Empire was collapsing. And he was sent to Rome to study, but he saw the decadence of the empire. And he said, you know, I don't want this. So he left Rome and went to a cave and allowed himself to be transformed by Christ and realized what is really important in life. And then he left. Once he was transformed, he gathered other people and he founded this order called the Benedictines. And the Benedictines, in their monasteries, they kept all the ancient manuscripts of culture. Now, the barbarians were invading Rome, destroying everything, burning down all towns. So the Benedictines say, we need to save these manuscripts. So they hid everything in the monasteries. And then they started teaching the barbarians about civilized life, to stay in one place, to work the land, to wait for the harvest. And when they realized that they were civilized, then, only then, they brought them the manuscripts of the ancient poets and philosophers. And Europe was reborn to culture. They saved the culture that we have today. One man, transformed by Christ, who gathered other people, saved our current culture. And Ignatius, who was a great man, said, he didn't say, oh, shoot, I will never be like him. I'm so bad. I'm such a sinner. I will never be able to imitate him. No, he said exactly the opposite. If Benedict did this, I want to do the same. And then he read about St. Francis of Assisi, a different case. St. Francis was the son of a merchant in Italy, very prosperous with a lot of money. And again, he was disenchanted with all this money and materialistic culture. And he heard this voice, Francis, help me rebuild my church. And he saw this little chapel there, and he went and rebuilt it. You can still see it in Assisi if you go there. But then he realized that the voice was telling him to rebuild the church, to change the church. So he embraced poverty. And then he gathered other brothers and then sisters, and he founded the Franciscan friars, and then the nuns, the poor clercs, and then a third order. And in a time in which Europe was immersed in materialism, and people were thinking about honor and money and fame, he was able to just blow this purifying gust into the courts of Europe. And Europe was purified once again because one man was transformed by Christ, gathered other people, and they together transformed the entire continent and the world. So Ignatius said, well, if Francis did this, I want to do the same. And he did. When he was recovered, he left his house, went to a cave in Spain, spent some time there just meditating, being transformed by Christ. And then he went out, gathered companions, and founded the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, that preserved the faith in Europe and brought the faith to the new world. So guys, I think that at this moment, all of us are thinking the same question. If Benedict did it, why not me? If Francis did this, why not me? If Ignatius did it, why not me? And I would add, if Carlo Acutis did it, why not me? If Michel Dupont did it, why not me? It is possible. So the good news, brothers and sisters, is that holiness is real, but also it is possible, and it is happening right here, right now. God is working, and we saw his word last night. All of us are experiencing this transformation. Now, this transformation, brothers and sisters, doesn't happen in the vacuum. It's not that, well, we go and we are transformed. No, no. It has many conditions. Father Mike last night said that Jesus took all the steps. We always hear that Jesus loves us where we are at, right? Jesus comes down to us. But that is the first part of the statement. Jesus comes down to us. He meets us where we are to lift us up. He doesn't want us to stay down there. So Jesus comes to us to bring us to him. And that is the good news. But that doesn't happen in the vacuum. It happens in the church. There's no holiness without the Catholic Church. It is so awesome to be Catholic. So I want to read for you a scripture passage that we love in Focus, that is the core of this transformation in Christ that we are talking about. It is the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. Right? Speaking of the disciples, St. Luke writes, they devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles and to communal life, the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. The teaching of the apostles, communal life, fellowship, the breaking of the bread, the mass, and prayers. Sound familiar? That is exactly what we have been doing here these days. Breaking of the bread, holy mass, the first thing of the day, in which all of us gather together with the successors to the apostles here to renew the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Then we pray. Last night, we pray. We spend time here with Jesus. You go to the chapel out there, and it's always, always full. Prayer. And then hundreds of talks, the teachings of the apostles. And finally, fellowship. 20,000 people here. This is how our transformation happens. We are sons and daughters of the church. And that transformation happens in the church. Now, yeah, Father John, we are here at SEEK. It's great. And then what? Well, you can continue doing exactly what we are doing here when you go back home. Because you may want to make the resolution these days to go to Mass every Sunday if you are not going every Sunday. And if you are, maybe you say, well, I want to go and receive Christ even during the week. Because there's a difference between receiving Christ and not receiving Christ. Maybe you say, I want to know my faith better. I want to join a Bible study because nobody loves what he or she doesn't know. So how can we love our faith if we don't know our faith? Maybe you want to add some time of prayer in your life. Not to pray 7 hours a day. You're college students or you're working, you're doing things, you work at home. No, it's prayer. Make Jesus the center of your life. When we speak about having a relationship with Christ, what we mean is make Jesus part of your life, that you think about him, that you make decisions thinking of how you can please him. That is to have a relationship. And then make sure that you have good Catholic friends. That is what we call in Focus the authentic friendship, because holiness happens in the church, in common, all together. Now, this is the last thing to say, that this transformation is not only for us. It is not that God gave us his grace to transform us. Well, we put in a Tupperware, and then we put in the freezer, and then we die, we take it out to Jesus, here is your grace, thank you. This is a modernized version of the parable of the talents. We don't bury it, we put in a freezer. No, our transformation is meant to transform others. That is the reason of our presence. That is the reason of God transforming us. He wants us to be his instruments. As we grow closer to Christ, who is the fire of love, we are like the iron, that we are set on fire with him. But when we are on fire and people get close to us, they will be on fire. That is the whole idea. To be transformed, to transform others. You know, many times people tell me, Father John, you work with young people. That is so awesome. And they use that word. That is so awesome. You are working with the future of the church. And I said, no. It is awesome. But I'm not working with the future of the church. I'm working with the present of the church. Because you guys are the present of the church. I mean, why on earth would you wait to get old to do something? So you have to start now. And for those who are, let us call, older or more mature, there's no retirement of the Catholic faith. So we don't retire. So the church is a constant presence. You are the present of the church. And this here and now is a time to do something about it, to transform ourselves, to transform others. You know, many times I hear people telling the young people, the young generations, oh, you guys need to make a better world. And this is true. You have to make a better world. But you know, when you hear what the world says, they will say, yeah, a better world. A world with green energy. A world in which everyone recycles. A world that saves the whales. Now, believe me, wait. This is important. This is important. Even the Holy Father tells us, and it's very important, that we take care of our home, the planet. This is important. But it is very important, but it is not enough. Because the only way to make this world a better world is to bring Jesus Christ into it. Because green energy, recycling, whales, kangaroos, or whatever will not bring us to heaven. Only Jesus Christ will bring us to heaven. So your job, my job, our job is to bring Jesus first, to allow him to be in our heart, to be on fire, and then to set others on fire. So the challenge, once we leave this conference, because it's coming to the end. Once we leave this conference, we cannot leave this conference the same way we came in. We want to leave the conference on fire and to show the world that holiness is real, that holiness is possible, that heaven exists, and that it is worth fighting for it, that it is awesome to be Catholic. And my dream and your dream should be that one day, if we start doing it, with the grace of God, allowing God to change us and becoming his instruments, the dream is that one day, every single human person on this planet, with all the angels, all the saints of heaven, will say, Viva Cristo Rey! Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for listening, friends. For more content from this podcast, please click the link in the episode description.